We often think of the disciples as the 12 men, although they could have easily, and many people suggest, they were young teenagers that Jesus had called to teach and to train. But here we have Luke making it very clear, just after he has emphasized the conversion of another woman, that among the disciples is a much larger group. 12 are there symbolically, reminding us that there's a new Israel being formed. But there's a much larger group following Jesus, and women are given a place of prominence and leadership in God's kingdom. Let's pray. Unless your Holy Spirit speaks to us, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, we cannot hear and we cannot see. We pray in your mercy that you would accomplish your purpose as we reflect on your word. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
So there were four types of earth. And Jesus described the four kinds and then gave a bit of an explanation of what he was getting at with his disciples. There was the path, and some of the seeds fell on the path. It's trampled down, and there's birds that come and eat it up. There are the rocks. And Jesus says, this is the place that's where the devil comes and snatches it away. What is the devil but the one who tempts, the one who accuses us and makes us ashamed and feeling guilty, drives us away from God? What is the devil but the one who sows seeds of doubt in our hearts and minds? Some of the seeds fall in the rock or the gravel. And as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Jesus says, the ones on the rock are the ones who initially they hear the word, they receive it with joy, but then a time of testing and trial comes along and their faith begins to wither. Some of the seeds fall in between weeds that grow up and choke the plants. And Jesus said that these are the ones who hear, but the worries of life, the fun and a focus on money and possessions eats away at their faith and chokes the life out of it. And some of the seeds fall into good soil. And here we are reminded that what God has in mind is that we would receive the word with an honest and good heart and bear fruit, which is patient endurance. I have been every one of these soils in my life. I have sinned, and it has driven a wedge between God and myself. I have been too ashamed to come to prayer. I've been ashamed to come to worship because of my sin. I have had doubts. I have questioned, is what I believe about Jesus, is what I talk about, is it true? I've had times where knowing God has brought me so much joy, where being in prayer and worship with Jesus, a sense of his presence has brought me so much joy. And then in the midst of trial, in the midst of pain and grief, which I have known, I've struggled in my faith. I have had worry and anxiety and grief that have filled my days. I've been tempted to be worried about money and possessions and to think about my plans for the coming year and the coming years. I'll buy this, I'll fix this, I'll go here. And these things distract me from following Jesus and distract me from prayer. And by God's mercy, I have endured to this day. How about you? Is there anyone here who has sinned? Is there anyone here who has doubted? Is there anyone here who has felt too ashamed to pray or to worship? And felt that maybe it would be better if they didn't come. Has anyone felt that because of a sin they no longer belong? Or what's the point in even trying anymore? I'm never going to change. Can anyone here remember a time when they received with joy God's word? When it meant everything and it felt like the fullness of life had come and you finally understood? Is there anyone here who also knows later on to have experienced doubt in the midst of a terrible trial, in the midst of tragedy and suffering that makes no sense, and there are no answers, and how can God be good, and what is the point of prayer? Does anyone know what it is like to have a life choked by worry and anxiety? Is there anyone who has been distracted by the accumulation of things and making plans of what they will do with the money that they make? Or has there been anyone here who's been distracted and drawn away by entertainment or being busy in life? Too busy to pray, too busy to be in church, too busy to be serving others. And do you know what it is like to receive God's word into your good and honest hearts and to patiently endure? I have been all of these people. Is Jesus saying to us, oh well, you win some, you lose some? Does Jesus' word ever go out and not without any intention of accomplishing something and changing something in our hearts and minds? Is Jesus saying, look, I've got some bad news for some of you. Some of you are a lost cause. You know who you are. You are hard. You're full of weeds. You're full of worry. You're more interested in fun and entertainment. There's no hope for you. Does that sound like what Christ would say to accomplish something, to bring about life and freedom? Or is Jesus saying to us, I am planting God's word in you, so be ready. Be on the lookout. Watch for it. Because it's going to be very easy that some circumstance is going to come and it's going to threaten to steal away this word that I'm entrusting in your life. There's going to be some circumstance that will wither the life that I'm giving you. There's going to be some circumstance that will choke the joy and the love that I am freely giving to you day after day. We cannot control the circumstances, can we? We can't remove the devil from this world. We can't bring an end to evil. We can't bring an end to sin or temptation. We can't prevent trials from coming our way. We can't prevent the suffering in our lives. We can't prevent the suffering from happening in the lives of the ones that we love. We can't prevent the circumstances that lead to worry and anxiety. But what do we find in this story? In every one of those circumstances, God is not absent. Jesus is at work planting seeds in every one of those circumstances. This is what we see throughout all the Gospels. Jesus planted seeds in the life of Mary Magdalene when she was controlled completely by the devil and given over to sin. She had no freedom, but Jesus planted seeds in her life. Jesus planted seeds in the life of the demon-possessed man who had been driven out and avoided all contact with people, living wild in a graveyard. Jesus planted seeds in the lives of other people with addictions, controlled by sin. Jesus planted seeds in Thomas, who would not believe in the resurrection. Jesus planted seeds in the lives of the disciples, who were joyful when Jesus first called them, but abandoned him when he was arrested. Jesus planted seeds in the life of Martha, who was anxious and busy and worried. Jesus planted seeds in the lives of Matthew and Zacchaeus, rich men with many possessions. Jesus spent his life scattering seeds, the seeds of God's word and God's blessing, widely and freely and in every kind of soil. And in the end, Jesus himself became a seed that was planted in the earth for the redemption of all humanity and all creation. Now, I garden. Perhaps many of you do as well. And the length of my yard, the 120 feet that I have in the heritage area, is an alley. There's an alley that runs the whole length of it and then behind it as well. And all along that alley, it's all paved. And leading into the alley, there's a gate. It's packed down from years and years of us walking in and out. And then the length on the inside of the yard is a garden, about 60 feet by 10 feet. Good soil. I've been working on it for years. Now, when I go to plant seeds, I promise you, I don't plant any on the pavement. I don't plant any on the pathway that leads into the yard. I don't plant any in the weeds that grow up closer to my garage. It would never occur to me to do that. What would possibly motivate me to do that? 100 seeds are not that expensive. $2? Well, why would I be so frugal, so stingy and calculating? Why wouldn't I see what happens? Throw some seeds on the pavement, on the hard ground, in the weeds. No, I'm very careful. Only in the good soil. How about the Creator of heaven and earth? How cautious is God when it comes to planting seeds? How calculating was Jesus when it came to walking through the land, spreading healing and freedom and love and a new way of life? A few things for ourselves. As we read the Gospel of Luke and Acts, I encourage you, pick it up and read it all the way through, and notice how often Jesus is talking about money and generosity. And how money and possessions lead us to worry. Ironically, we think if we had more of it, we'd worry less. And Jesus suggests it's otherwise. And instead, Jesus is encouraging his disciples to imagine another way of living, of giving everything away. Now, how could you do that? Well, because you serve a God who scatters blessings widely and freely, a good God who will care for you, frees you to live differently in community. As we minister to others, we might also consider, in terms of evangelism or witness, that there are seeds already planted in every single person that we will meet. When we come face to face with a non-Christian, perhaps we are ready to think that they are hard and resistant and we have to argue with them. But this story suggests that the seeds of the Word of God are planted everywhere. Are there questions, if we could just think of the right ones, that might help us uncover and help that person uncover the fact that God is already present and at work in their life? Or maybe there's a seed that you could plant, a promise from God's word for that person that would grow into something else later that someone else could help uncover. As well, all the good seeds in the good soil produce fruit. And that means that every Christian produces fruit, every one of us. And so none of us are independent on this journey. No one can make it alone. And no one has nothing to give. Or put positively, every single one of us needs each other. We need a community. And every one of us has something to share. Seeds have been planted in us, and they're growing, and they're producing fruit. That's God's work. Our work is to share the fruit that is growing in our lives. As Paul says, therefore, we should not think of ourselves too highly. Rather, we should love one another with affection. We should show each other respect and honor. And perhaps the last thing that we might reflect on is that Jesus said there would be days like this. We are on the countdown to Lent and to the cross. The gospel is the story of someone who believed in God's blessings and believed in God's presence and believed in God's goodness, but he was led to a cross. There will be threats to our faith throughout all our lives, to the very end. Where is sin and doubt stealing your connection to Jesus today? Where is the hard soil in your life? What are the weeds and thorns that are choking out the life that God has given to you? As we examine these, our lives for these areas in the light of God's presence, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we remember Jesus' word to us today, that in every circumstance in life, Jesus is planting the seeds of God's word. Now, seeds are often small. I don't know if you've ever planted carrot seeds. Most irritating things to try in space. They're very small, almost invisible. But they grow into something quite visible. It takes time. God might be planting something in our lives in these hard areas. We can't see at the moment, but if we persevere, if we endure, it will grow and produce fruit. I pray every day for miracles and for God's mercy. And then I wait and watch. And next day I pray again. Jesus gives us hope and strength to trust God enough that we would endure all the hardships, the hard times, the temptation, and all the doubt. And sometimes we are led to a cross. Sometimes we are not spared. And in those moments, all we have are God's life, God's love, and not that we hold on to it, but that in that love, God holds on to us. A love that does not let us go. I hope it's okay for me to say this, Kathy. You requested some time ago, "O love that will not let me go." I know it's a favorite of many people here. And as I thought of God's blessing, and of God's presence, this seemed like the right time to sing of the God's love that I know is with each of you, no matter what you are going through. Let's sing together hymn number 374 in the brown pew hymnals in front of you, "O love that will not let me go."